It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's been a banner year for science. We'll talk to an editor from Discover Magazine about some of the top space stories from 2015.
First, President Obama delivered a speech from the Oval Office last night outlining his plan to take on terrorism and to try to keep America safe following last week's deadly attack in San Bernardino.
The speech was widely seen as a chance for President Obama to address the fear that many Americans are feeling about ISIS, and he spoke to those fears last night.
Here's what I want you to know. The threat from terrorism is real, but we will overcome it. We will destroy ISIL and any other organization that tries to harm us. Our success won't depend on tough talk or abandoning our values or giving in to fear. That's what groups like ISIL are hoping for. Instead, we will prevail by being strong and smart, resilient and relentless, and by drawing upon every aspect of American power.
On top of his attempt to inspire confidence among Americans, President Obama talked about efforts at home and abroad to combat terrorism and the importance of working with Muslim communities to take on the threat.
For more on the speech and the reaction today, we're joined by UW political science professor Andrew Kidd. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So why did the president use an Oval Office primetime address to say a lot of things about fighting terrorism that we've heard him say before?
Well, people are a bit jittery. People are on edge. There's been a lot of terrorist attacks in the United States, a lot of mass shootings recently. And so I think there's a sense that there's a little bit of fear out there. Things might be slipping out of control. And so he wanted to try to get people back on an even keel and reassure them and lay out what his strategy is for trying to address this problem.
And how did the president try to address the fears that people may be having about ISIS and American security right now?
Well, he outlined the strategy that he's pursuing. I mean, he used some rather ambitious rhetoric and set some ambitious goals, saying that we're going to overcome terrorism, which harks back to the civil rights movement, perhaps. We shall overcome this threat. We're going to destroy the IS, ISIL as he calls it. Those are very ambitious goals. It would be great if we could do that. It's not clear how we are going to do that. But his strategy that he laid out is basically what he's doing now, what the United States is doing now. We're going to use airstrikes. We've been doing that for about a year, targeting their leaders. We're going to try to increasingly put the screws on them financially, cut off their oil exports. We're going to try to ally with local actors, most especially the Kurds, but also some other groups in Syria, especially, who are fighting the IS. We're going to put some special forces in there to help guide airstrikes. And we're going to cooperate with other regional powers, especially Turkey, to try to seal the border and, again, cut off their financial supplies. And hopefully, the most ambitious goal, in a sense, to end the Syrian civil war. He talked about resolving the Syrian civil war, which is indeed the key to the whole problem. If you could resolve the Syrian civil war, you would really be able to do something against the IS. But unfortunately, that is a very ambitious goal because it's a very complex problem.
And the president's approval rating on how he's handling terrorism, it could be better. The GOP has been attacking him on this. Did this address last night do anything to possibly turn that ship around?
I'm not sure how many minds it's going to change. The Republicans, of course, came out very vehemently against the speech, accusing it of various kinds of weakness in one way or another. But it's interesting, it's not clear that the Republicans are really united against or united around a more obviously hardline approach for the simple reason that we've been trying more hardline approaches in terms of large ground commitments in Iraq since 2003 and Afghanistan since 2001. And the government that we supported in Iraq was defeated by the IS in the north just in 2014. The Afghan government that we've been supporting all these years is showing significant weakness against the Taliban. So we are acutely aware of the limits of American power, even on the Republican side these days. And so there's a lot of quibbling about the details of what the rules of engagement are for the special forces and things like that. But nobody is really proposing the kind of commitment that it would actually take to wipe out the IS in a definitive way, right? People have estimated it would take over 100,000 American ground forces to do that, and I just don't see any appetite for that across the political spectrum.
We're talking right now to Andrew Kidd, UW professor here in Wisconsin, and we're talking about President Obama's speech yesterday on terrorism and America's safety in the world right now. Now, the president, you said he did have some ambitious language. The tenor of his speech last night was very moderate in tone. He was plain-spoken about this. What do you think he's going for in his approach to how he's reaching out to the American people about this? Is he going for maybe more of a comforting role instead of alarmist?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I mean, he is, as he often does in these sorts of situations, he projects cool, right? He doesn't want to be flustered. He doesn't want people to get overexcited. He wants people to keep their heads. And so that's kind of the message that he's projecting there, that we can have these ambitious goals, but we're not going to achieve them overnight. It's going to take a long period of work and perseverance, being relentless, as he put it. So we need to sort of settle down and keep our eyes on the ball and do the things that work against counterterrorism threats. And these things are not big and dramatic. There's not a big invasion. There's going to be no date when the bombers, you know, unleash shock and awe. There's not going to be anything of that nature. And conversely, there may be no event on the aircraft carrier where we declare mission accomplished. It's going to be a long struggle. And we're just going to have to get used to that phenomenon.
And the president also referenced some things he wanted Congress to do. Mm-hmm. So among those things, barring guns from people on the no-fly list and also restricting access to assault weapons. Here's what he said.
I know there are some who reject any gun safety measures. But the fact is that our intelligence and law enforcement agencies, no matter how effective they are, cannot identify every would-be mass shooter, whether that individual is motivated by ISIL or some other hateful ideology. What we can do, and must do, is make it harder for them to kill.
Interesting bit of the talk last night. There was some speculation going in that this would be an address about gun control. It really wasn't. This was the one sort of chunk about that. How is this aspect unfolding, the no-fly list in guns?
Yeah, it's very interesting that a lot of people wondered what would happen in this country when Islamic extremists and terrorists started using guns rather than trying to blow up aircraft. Because then sort of two conflicting impulses would come to bear. One, on the right, on the conservative side, certainly very pro-guns, anti-gun control, and also wanted to be strong on terrorism. And so far we've seen the pro-gun side wins that debate hands down. The Senate just voted to not prevent people on the no-fly list from being able to get firearms. And so we haven't seen a lot of movement on that. Some of the Republican candidates, I think Trump among them, expressed an openness to the idea of preventing people on the no-fly list from getting guns, but others were vehemently against that idea and saying that, no, the list was a terrible list, lots of innocent people were on it, this is a constitutional right, et cetera. So I would say at least in the early running, the pro-gun side seems to be dominant on the Republican side. So we're not going to see, at least right away, a big move in favor of guns control, even in the seemingly limited context of trying to prevent people who are suspected of having radical Islamic sympathies and terrorist connections, yeah, much more than sympathies, terrorist connections, preventing them from getting weapons.
And the president also spent some time making the case against Islamophobia. What do you make of how he's approaching that?
Well, I mean, I think that's also good. It's definitely the right message to send, right? I think one of the goals for the IS in attacks of this nature, certainly the attacks in terrorists, is to try to divide Western societies along religious lines and try to make life uncomfortable for Muslims in those societies, turning non-Muslims against them, trying to thereby further radicalize Muslims in the West, which would, from their point of view, be all to the good because it might increase their ability to recruit people to carry out further attacks and to support the IS. So I think that's definitely, as the president expressed, one of their goals, and we need to fight that, right? And so I think his statements are efforts to do that, trying to say people, look, this is just a tiny, tiny fraction of Muslims. This has nothing to do with Islam per se. We should not be anti-Islam because of this any more than we should be anti-Christian because of the Planned Parenthood shooter's Christian beliefs. And so I think that's an important message to send, right? While at the same time trying to encourage, of course, mobilization, anti-extremist mobilization within the Muslim community itself.
Andrew, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
That was UW Professor Andrew Kidd talking about President Obama's speech yesterday on terrorism and American safety.